knowledge fight. And Jordan, I am sweating. KnowledgeFight.com. It's time to pray.
I have great respect for Knowledge Fight.
Knowledge Fight. I'm sick of them posing as if they're the good guys, saying we are the bad guys. Knowledge Fight.
Dan and Jordan.
Knowledge Fight.
I need money. Andy in Kansas. Stop it. Andy in Kansas. Andy. It's time to pray. Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan.
I love your work.
Knowledge Fight.
KnowledgeFight.com. I love you.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Knowledge Fight. I'm Dan.
I'm Jordan.
We're a couple dudes like to sit around, worship at the altar of Selene, and talk a little bit about Alex Jones.
Oh, indeed we are, Dan.
Jordan.
Dan.
Jordan.
Quick question for you, buddy.
What's up?
What's your bright spot?
My bright spot today, Jordan, I feel like maybe talk a little bit about the goings-on at the library. That's being built.
Still being burnt down? Library of Alexandria, I assume, is the one you're talking about.
No.
Oh.
A modern day weird anti-communism library that will be burned down eventually.
Yeah, well, yeah, absolutely.
I've gotten a number of issues of the American Opinion and what have you, the mm-hmm. John Birch Society. That collection is coming together.
Indeed.
And what have you. And I started to think about, I want to start with a little bit of specialization. Because, you know, otherwise we're just going to be randomly trying to find things, and
sure.
That makes the hunt a little bit more challenging
right.
when you don't have a real target. And so I decided that I'm going to begin by trying to compile as much as I can of Revealo P. Oliver
mm-hmm.
Works. And I found some very terrible things so far.
Oh, unsurprising.
He's written some real terrible, very, very anti-Semitic stuff. And the reason I chose to go in this direction is partially because I believe that a lot of his ideas about the West and the Western man in Christendom and those sorts of things are very relevant to the right wing as it exists now. And I think a lot of people don't have that thread to pull, and maybe exploring that
True.
A little bit could be helpful.
True.
But then the other thing was that when you think about the John Birch Society, which is a cornerstone of the materials that are going to be in this thing I'm putting together, the first meeting that they had, the founding members that were there,
mm-hmm.
a lot of these people were business folks.
Yeah.
They were industrialists. They were members of the National Association of Manufacturers. You know, they had...
Most fascists are.
Sure. You had the Candyman.
Sure.
Welch.
Yeah, absolutely.
You had Fred Koch.
Uh-huh.
You know, you had these folks who were... You know, I'm sure they had ideas,
right.
but they weren't primarily idea people.
Right.
Whereas Revealo P. Oliver was somebody who was there, and he's an ideas guy. He was, he's a professor.
Sure.
He's a, academic. He's somebody who has a lot of theory about stuff. And when, you look at that constellation of people,
mm-hmm.
that's the person that I find most interesting. That's the person who's going to have more writings that have, implications for maybe the way that the organization ended up growing.
Well, of course. I mean, the businessmen are obviously outsourcing their thoughts to other people, too. They don't have time to think of things.
And I'm sure they have some ideas, some thoughts.
Mm.
But they get...
Hurt the poor!
It's a thought.
It's a thought! It's an idea!
We need someone to make this sound better.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm excited about that. I've got his Against the Grain here in front of me.
Yeah.
This is the first. The Writings of Professor Revealo Pendleton Oliver. There's a number of chapters in here that I think
speak for themselves.
They spell trouble. There's a nice editorial here. A white Christian racist defends his faith.
I mean, it's refreshingly straightforward.
Mm-hmm.
I would accept that, especially if it was a white racist defends his racism by just being like, I really want to.
Mm-hmm.
At the end.
There's one chapter in the larger section, Race and History Distortion.
Sure.
And there's a subchapter, Anne Frank's Diary.
Oh,
not sure
boy.
What
Great.
Hear his
that one's
on that one.
One's real quick.
Yeah, so this is the direction that some things are taking here with the library. And I know some. I've been a little bit slow in posting pictures.
Sure.
So I wanted to give a little update about that, and you know, there'll be some pictures.
Well,
soon.
I mean, you know how we've seen so many failed stand-up comedians become right-wing talking
we have.
Idiots, yeah. You know? What's great about Revilo is that he was originally the great Revilo, and because of his failed magic career, well, here we are.
I wonder if it is pronounced Revilo.
It is
Revilo.
In my brain forever.
I've only seen it written, I
right.
suppose. But
may
yeah.
we never hear his name spoken aloud.
I think that is his like given name. I think that is his, like, but it is also a palindrome.
Revilo P. Oliver is a palindrome.
Yeah.
Oh, that's fucking annoying.
A little bit.
What a piece of shit.
But if that's the case, you got to blame his parents.
Well, I mean, I think he deserves some response. You could change your name.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, maybe that'll be another part of my research. Figuring out exactly if this is his name and
named
why.
Him.
Yeah.
Oh, that's annoying.
So what's your bright spot?
My bright spot is I finally got turned on, or I finally listened to the Big Thief album from last year.
Mm-hmm.
Strong New Warm Mountain or whatever it's called.
Mm.
It's good.
Big Thief featuring Chief Keef.
Is it no. Nope, not that one. No. It's surprisingly good. Yeah, I've been anti Big Thief for a long time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I've been anti Big Thief because to me for a long time they've sounded like if Courtney Barnett headed Gang Gang Dance or something. I know that means nothing to some people, but
here's what's great about this.
I understand.
This. I hear the name Big Thief, and I don't know where to slot this.
Oh,
I don't
that's
know,
a good point.
I don't know genre, and then
sure.
you name other people, and I don't know what they
don't
are.
Even know what
I,
they are.
It's like, okay, he's going to say what it's a combination of. I'm going to be able to figure this out. Is this rock? Is this rap? Is this folk? What is this? But then you name people, and I'm like, I don't know them either.
I'll tell you this.
Yep.
It's a little bit of everything.
Okay.
That's the problem.
Mm.
You know, there's a little bit of everything in there, and it's not always focused enough to be good at the thing that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
This album is good at the thing that they're doing. It's good.
Okay.
Agreed.
Is there any what's that genre that I loathe?
Trap.
No. God damn it. It's not it's good. It's like beachy. It's very beachy.
It's beachy.
Yeah, I don't know.
Soft rock?
No. Lloyd, I'm not a fan
reggae?
Of soft rock either.
Reggae. You
no,
don't like reggae.
I like some reggae, but most of it is too chill for me.
That's right.
Yeah.
We've had this conversation.
Yeah. I find it
yes.
too relaxed.
How dare
it
you?
It stresses
How
me out.
How dare you? Yeah. This is making me worry about the future.
Yeah. I don't appreciate that they're either so relaxed and chill
sure.
or they're putting that like image on.
Right, right, right.
And then,
if they're deceiving you, it's actually terrifying, right?
The implications of it are
yeah,
tough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bossa Nova. That's what I was thinking of. Yeah.
Speechy.
I don't know.
All right.
Is
All
there,
right.
Is there,
I
a,
mean,
is there a Bossa Nova
I mean,
type
I mean,
influence?
Are you talking? I mean, I suppose yeah, like Antonio Carlos Chobim kind of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can
exactly.
see that.
Exactly.
There is no, there is no Bossa Nova in there.
Oh. Maybe you call Big Thief, ask him to toss a little Bossa Nova.
That's not
in there.
A bad idea. I don't think you're wrong. Okay.
Anyway,
yes.
I'm glad you're enjoying that album.
I'm sorry. What are we doing today?
We're doing an episode.
Oh,
Jordan. So we, on our last episode, we talked about the end of the year broadcast
for
on
sure.
InfoWars, December 31st.
June on all of my checks. Yeah.
And we had a tease from Alex
yes.
that he was going to reveal his predictions for the coming year, and then
uh-huh.
he decided I can't do that. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to lock myself in my office for 6 to 7 hours, tell my wife I'm not coming home.
Right.
I'm going to take care of this, and it's got to be dark in that office. And then he's like, fuck it. You know what? I'll do you one better.
Right.
I'm going to the woods
right.
for a couple days.
I recall him escalating to I'm going to the woods for a couple of days.
Because he's got to get in the zone
of
with
course.
God, and God's got to tell him stuff, and that can only happen in a creek.
And he needs to cry and walk. He's a cry walker.
He is.
Yes.
So we tuned in as we were recording our last episode on Alex's Sunday show, and it turns out he was there. He was in studio.
Interesting.
So he did not go to the woods.
Did they turn all the lights off so he could talk in the dark?
No.
Oh.
It, but he barely talked. He wasn't talking all that
okay,
much.
Okay.
It was an interview with Francis Boyle, Dr. Francis Boyle.
Sure.
The guy who is a bioweapon specialist of Naturally. Some sort. And he has apparently some thoughts about Ukraine.
Great.
It was a pointless interview.
Yeah.
We did not get predictions about the year.
That doesn't surprise me.
That was the whole first hour.
Mm-hmm.
And then the second hour was just reruns. Alex left. So
he is in the woods.
Well, here's the thing. I tuned in on Monday.
Uh-oh.
And what do I find?
Oh, no.
Infowars.com. Live, on air, in the year 2023.
He's in the woods!
Why don't you suck on that, globalists?
What?
Why don't you suck on that, deep state?
Yeah.
Wait, is the deep state sucking on the new year?
No, just the fact that they're still on air.
Sure, but I mean...
InfoWars is still on air in 2023.
I mean,
and if you got a problem with that, we got two
No. This is...
Suck it.
Arbitrary demarcation of time. I refuse to acknowledge that as an existence.
The new Degeneration X.
Nope.
The New Age Outlaws.
How dare they?
Harrison Smith and Owen Troyer.
Absolutely not.
Tag team champs.
No, refuse.
You've got...
What would Harrison Smith's final move be?
The snooze. He puts you to sleep.
He just starts talking to you for a long
time. No, it's a sleeper hold.
It's a sleeper hold? Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't buy him putting anybody to sleep in that.
No, but it's thematically fitting.
Sure.
And then Alex, I guess, would be Triple H or maybe Shawn Michaels.
I mean, I think he's more Hulk Hogan now.
Mm. Well, that's like the New World Order stuff.
Oh, that's right.
You're thinking,
I forgot.
I'm trying to cast Degeneration
X. No, I understand.
X.
My attitude era is not as complete as yours.
Cousin Buckley is ravishing Rick Rude.
Right. Well, no, obviously. That one's obvious.
Savannah Hernandez is China because she's the only female that I think is still around.
Yeah.
Because Millie Weaver's gone. Caitlin Bennett, I don't think is still around.
I don't even know if she's still around in period.
And I know that Savannah Hernandez actually works, like she worked for The Blaze, but she still has a channel on Band.Video.
Sure.
Nick Fuentes could be ravishing Rick Rude because he had a mustache.
Oh.
And Nick had a mustache. Enough of this.
Okay.
Anyway, Alex is in the woods, it appears.
Sure.
On Monday or something. He's just not there. So that left me in a little bit of a bind because I was obviously wanting... to get to these predictions.
Right.
I'm very excited about that. I want to know what's coming. Alex has a responsibility to tell us because he's a psychic, and I'm not.
Boy, he really is a psychic, too.
Yeah. So anyway, I felt like I wanted to tell the world that we don't have the predictions. But that's not an episode.
End of episode. Goodbye!
That is not a full episode.
Fair.
And so I thought, like, well, we can go back to 2003. We can make some progress through 2003.
Sure.
And it dawned on me that actually we are right at the point where Saddam gets found. He got found on December 13th, 2003, and our next episode, as we're progressing through, would be December 12th.
Oh.
So here we are.
Okay.
We get to figure out what happened when Alex heard the news that Saddam Hussein was found.
Clearly, if I remember my 2003 lore correctly, it was Czechoslovakia who did it, correct?
No, they trained the dogs that found Saddam.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. I'm better now.
Yeah. So we'll get down to business on this, but before we do, Jordan, let's take a little moment to say hello to some new wonks.
Oh, that's a great idea.
So first, Jen Jam, thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Happy It's Cool Whenever Dan Gets to It birthday, Eric from Kate, our puppies Meadow, Bandit, and Horseradish, the pod dog. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Happy birthday!
Hey.
Right on time this time. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Next, thanks to Alex Jones for my new gender, Gremlin Wraith. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next, Luke, I am your father. Thank you so much. You are now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
I mean, I don't know why nobody's tried that one before. I feel like that's been there for... We're on episode 762 or whatever, right?
It's true.
Yeah.
Next, did European studies really prepare us for this, Emmer? Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And Squatch Curious has joined the party. Thank you so much. You're now a policy wonk.
I'm a policy wonk.
Thank you very much.
And we got a technocrat in the mix. Ooh. And this person I have to give an apology to because they wanted me to play an out-of-context drop of myself. But I don't know where that is in the emails, and they sent this message a couple months ago.
Right,
I can't find it. I have no idea. But if they resend that email, maybe I'll play it in the future or something. But in lieu of that, they asked for this shout-out. So thank you very much. Danielle had a great idea for a shout-out, but Dan and Jordan didn't listen, and now you're all stuck with this stupid shout-out name. Thank you so much. You are now a Technocrat.
I'm a policy wonk.
Four stars. Go home to your mother and tell her you're brilliant.
Someone sodomite sent me a bucket of poop.
Daddy Shark. Bom, 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 bom. Jar Jar Binks has a Caribbean black accent. He's a loser little titty baby. I don't want to hate black people. I renounce Jesus Christ.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And I'll play that clip if we get to it.
If I understand correctly, was that referring to if you decided not to play the clip, then they would be like, well, this one would be good.
Yeah, here's the name if you don't want to do this.
That's, I mean, a subtle dig at you in, that's fantastic.
Sure.
I appreciate
it. Sure, but it also could be, you know, it could be if this is too much of a hassle.
Sure,
kind of thing.
Sure, absolutely.
Anyway, sorry about that.
Yep.
So we got this episode to do, and I want to say a little tease, and that is that if you stick around till the end of the episode, we will have a new song by DJ Danarchy that we forgot to play earlier.
We're great.
You know what? It's one thing to just like, we kind of forget things, you know, but when it's like a couple in a row, it doesn't feel great.
Okay, so there is, and you know, you and I both have strenuously avoided this, but there are reasons people have other people work on things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
A lot of other shows have staffs.
Mm-hmm.
There are people designated to remember things.
Right.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Never going to happen with us, but...
I'm looking over at the other person who works on this show. Could maybe get a planner or something.
Well, that's probably a good idea.
Anyway, there will be a new song, The Highwaymen Mix.
Sounds
by
good.
DJ Danarchy at the end of the episode. But here we go. We're going to start. And we start on the 12th. And actually, we don't have any clips from the 12th. It is a boring show. Nothing happens. I couldn't find anything to grab onto. Alex is killing time.
Sure.
It is not even interesting. But there's a commercial that I heard on that episode that I thought was worth bringing to everyone's attention.
Okay.
Oh, my... I can't believe I got these drugs prescribed for free and shipped overnight to my door without seeing a doctor.
Yes, it's true. For a limited time, our doctors are prescribing drugs for free. Our doctors are prescribing the most popular diet pills, muscle relaxers, sleeping pills, and Viagra. You heard it right. Free prescriptions over the phone for painkillers, migraine relief, anti-anxiety, allergy relief, and heartburn relief. The list goes on and on. Free prescriptions for hair loss, birth control, antidepressants, acne creams, and herpes medication. Did I mention free diet pills and Viagra prescriptions? This is a limited time offer. Our doctors will not be prescribing drugs over the phone for free and shipping them overnight to your door for much longer. If you don't call 1-800-615-7094 right now, you may miss out forever. To participate in this limited time offer and have your drugs prescribed over the phone for free, you need to call 1-800-615-7094 now.
Yeah, so Alex was advertising for a drug shopping kind of thing. And like, look, it's one thing... I don't know, actually, I'm not going to try and couch this in anything.
Sure.
He brings up, like, muscle relaxants, painkillers.
Yeah.
Like, these are some dangerous things to be taking outside the supervision of, like, a doctor's care.
Yeah,
they list Soma as one of the things that...
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Good. I mean, no, when you're on a commercial, the one thing I'm listening for is if you're reinforcing once more, just so you know, we have speed and dick pills... I think we know what people are asking for, okay?
Right, yeah, and there's like, hey, we're only going to be doing this for a while.
Right? That's insane.
Get your drugs now.
What is this, the Wild West? This is a come on down to get Dr. Gin's tonic. It's going to solve all your problems today.
I mean, this is a mess, but it's also, there's an element of it that is just deeply unethical.
Yeah, no, this can't be legal, right?
I don't know.
Was it legal in 2003?
Look, I don't know enough about the law, and I assume that it is.
Somewhere it's legal.
It must be. There's some sort of a loophole or something that you know. I'm not saying that there's Alex should be arrested or these people should be arrested, but he should feel terrible. Like advertising for this. I mean, I think that it's even dicey to advertise like gambling stuff.
Yeah,
I think that's a little bit shady.
Yeah.
I think even. I mean, maybe I'm more anti-advertising than a lot of folks, but I understand people taking ads for, you know, something that could potentially be dangerous.
Sure.
But like this, is, hey, do you want free access to medications that could potentially completely destroy your life? And I'm Alex Jones, somebody who hates pharmaceuticals.
Right.
I think that every shooter is somebody who's on brain control meds.
Yeah. Don't take psychiatric drugs. Take speed and dick pills. Preferably together and with alcohol.
But from my impression of that call, you could get psychiatric meds too.
Of course, you can get anything you want from that place, which again is a problem.
Yeah.
If I mean, hindsight's 20/20. But if I was listening to that,
sorry.
I don't appreciate eye jokes because I'm blind.
I have a cross eye.
It is. So clear, like, oh yeah, the opioid crisis is 100% coming. 100% coming.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that if you're Alex Jones, there should be a point at which, like, I understand that this ad is probably run through Midas Resources or Genesis.
Sure.
You know, like, this is Ted Anderson's fault.
Yeah.
But if I were Alex, I would put some sort of standards in place where I'm like, no. You don't do this. You're going to run the risk of getting our audience addicted to pills that will destroy their lives.
Well,
they maybe don't need them or.
Okay. I mean, Dan, that would only make sense if they were operating under similar rules as like a drug dealer of some sort. You know, like they would do something like say, oh, the first taste is free. And then later on, whenever you came back to them because you're addicted to it, you wouldn't get it for free. But clearly that's, wait a second, Dan.
Well, they're not going to be shipping them for free for long. Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
The 12th is a Friday.
Yeah.
So the weekend comes and goes, and Saddam got captured over the weekend. Mm-hmm. And so on the 15th, Monday...
They always do a news dump on the weekend, you know, because you don't want to... Yeah.
So, and you... I was trying to find a way to connect this to, like, you always get fired on a Friday.
Right.
But Alex comes...
Always get fired on a Friday.
Alex comes in on Monday.
Yeah.
And here's where he's at... I mean, at least he doesn't beat around the bush. He just gets to the news.
Hello, my friends. Welcome to another live edition of the Alex Jones Show. I'm chomping at the bit to comment on the supposed capture of Saddam Hussein. I was in Houston, Texas Sunday morning after a successful
show.
Yeah,
that's the way you do it.
And John Carpenter's They Live at the local movie theater there. Great seeing everybody. And I got up that morning, turned on the television, something I rarely do these days. And they were announcing that they had captured the rat. They had the ace in the hole. They had captured Saddam Hussein the day before, and they were announcing it to us, the governor of the American governor of the territory of the holding was saying that we have done it, and some Iraqi journalists, about 10 of them, jumped up and started hooting and hollering and praising this development.
What a monumentous weekend. I mean, first of all, you had Saddam getting captured.
Sure.
And then Alex was at the Alamo Draft House.
Yeah.
And he did his movie screening.
Yeah.
I have to say that I think Alex is a little bit annoyed that Saddam got captured because it kind of makes it so he can't just talk about the show and how much of a success it was.
I mean, I'm assuming that Alex would be annoyed if he had gone down on the plane with the big bopper and wasn't given head billing, you know, like that kind of thing. Alex would be very frustrated if he lost any clout to anyone.
Wait, you're saying that he would be upset if he was on the plane with the big bopper as opposed to with Buddy Holly?
Well, whatever. I'm backwards.
Yeah, yes.
My bad. I'm backwards.
And the only reason I bring it up is because it runs counter to the argument that you were making.
I know, absolutely. The complete opposite.
Yeah.
It's been a long day.
I understand.
All right. Mistakes were made.
It's tough. It's tough out there. It's raining in Chicago.
That's the problem.
Yep.
I got a bum knee.
Mm-hmm.
It's all there.
And the rain exacerbates that knee. As we know from Far Side cartoons.
It's really true, though. It hurts.
So we don't really know what Alex's vibe is yet here.
Yeah.
You know, he's kind of saying the supposed capture, but there's not really a sense that he's like, this is fake or anything. And that continues.
There's been so many false reports of captures of other people. I thought we'd go over this today. I don't know what to believe.
Interesting.
And we're going to open the phones up early in the
show.
And yes,
it was him.
We'll take dozens and dozens and dozens of calls today. Wide open phones on the show. What do you think's happening? Your chance to respond. I don't know.
He doesn't know. It's kind of refreshing to hear Alex just say that he has no idea what the reality of a given situation is. You'd never hear him show that kind of weakness these days, but in the past, Alex's brand was being a smart truth teller. Not that he's a prophet ordained by God and given a divine revelation, and a guy who can also see the future.
That's a good point.
His image can sustain a little bit of uncertainty in 2003, which is just kind of like a normal person.
Well, I mean, not knowing things is actually one of the most, one of the strongest things that a truth teller does.
Sure.
It's not know things.
Right.
Yeah.
It's a wise man admits when he doesn't know things.
Mean, one who speaks does not know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Jefferson.
No. Lao Tzu.
Okay. Close. I was close. So that being said, Alex is not being above board here.
Mm-hmm.
On the surface, he's saying that he doesn't know what to think, but he's very clearly trying to imply to the audience that they should think that the capture of Saddam was fake. All the external context that he adds to the coverage serves only to justify coming to the conclusion that it was fake. Alex points out that other captures have been faked before, which is supposed to make the listener feel like deciding Saddam's capture was faked is a more rational act than
totally
you would
okay.
normally think.
Yeah, yeah.
You may notice that Alex is not doing this kind of insinuation in the other direction, providing defenses for the listener who may be inclined to think that the capture was legit. That's because there is a conclusion Alex is driving at, even if he's trying to hide behind pretending that he's clueless and I don't know what to think.
Sure. I mean, it's obviously more likely for him to lean towards it was fake. I mean, that's his bailiwick, you know, on the
sure.
day-to-day. I'm a little confused as to why he's not in this one.
Mm.
You know, in this particular situation, I feel like with the knowledge of Saddam's doubles all over the place, you know, everybody knew that was going around.
True.
You have a fairly good shot, at least for a few days, of being like, I don't think it was him. They have to prove it. I think they're faking it.
Well, I had a couple of thoughts about that. We'll get into that a little bit as things go along.
Mm-hmm.
But also, interestingly, there is not really any inclination towards the doubles and stuff. Even though he does bring up that there were doubles, he's pretty insistent that this is actually Saddam.
Interesting.
Yeah, because he was saying that some other time in the not too distant past, some other picture of Saddam was a double. He has a lot of ideas about whether or not Saddam's neck is thick.
Sure. A very pressing question for him. I do believe he measures people's worth by thickness of neck.
It's critical. It's a stat.
it's a saying in his house. Oh, that man has a real thick neck.
Yeah. So Alex continues to pretend that there's like, I don't know what's going on here.
I know this, though. That Saddam they showed during the war with the glasses was not Saddam. The Israelis and Iranians and others looked at it and said, that's not Saddam. I could look at it and tell you it wasn't Saddam, though it was a better body double than the fat guy that they claim was bin Laden 2 years ago. Remember that video, the fat guy in the dark room that looked nothing like bin Laden, had a nose twice the size of bin Laden's? We know that was fake. We know that the Pentagon has planted hundreds of fake letters from troops in newspapers with false signatures. We know they've lied to us about mass graves and mobile weapons trucks and uranium from Niger. We know that they've planted false news stories of impending terror to, quote, create hysteria. We know the Jessica Lynch story was a, quote, fable. So I don't know.
What Alex is doing here is teaching his audience how to argue a point while knowing nothing about the actual point you're arguing. Leaving aside the dubious nature of some of the points Alex just listed off, even if all of that was totally true and accurate, none of it would prove that Saddam's capture wasn't real.
Right.
At best, the argument he's making could conclude that the globalists are capable of faking something, but that doesn't mean that they did.
Hmm.
The goal of this style of argumentation is to overwhelm the person you're arguing with. It's a barrage of points that don't prove anything, but it's literally impossible for someone to respond to what Alex is saying in any satisfactory way. You see this kind of behavior a ton in social media comments, so it's kind of makes sense that Alex would have gravitated so strongly to that swamp.
Here's how I would respond to it, okay? I would ignore most of it.
You
and
should,
I would,
yeah.
I would say, of all things, if I recall correctly, Osama had a bit of a honker. I wouldn't choose the size of his nose to measure. He had a large nose.
Right.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Or give him a, that's not a nose, that's a banana.
Exactly. You look at the man, you know? Like, come on. If you guys gaining weight, of course he gained weight. He used to be flying around and shit, and now he's just sitting in a hole with his 30 wives or whatever.
Well, I would say that you're not going to win going down that road. Your first instinct was better, which is just
true.
Ignore all this stuff and stay on the point that you're
right.
supposed to be talking about,
which
is the Saddam, what do you know about it? And you're not, he's not saying anything.
Right, right. But that's why I feel like we need to get to the bottom of this Osama thing, because he's not really saying anything about that. But I want to know what he thinks about when he sees Osama's nose. Mm. You know, like, what is the size that is large or small in that picture? Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, I think... I mean, I see maybe how you would want to have a good time arguing with Alex here.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's a fruitful road.
Well, fair.
So the second goal of this kind of thing, this kind of argumentation, is to make an argument without having to own the fact that you made that argument. Alex is arguing that Saddam's capture was faked, but he has every ability to pretend that he's not. If you were to say that he's making that argument, he'd be able to weasel his way out of that by just pointing, like, I didn't say that. Meanwhile, Alex has been saying that Saddam fled to Belarus with his kids and a bunch of gold ever since he was ousted from power. So if you're a person familiar with the content and narratives that are active on InfoWars at this point, you would know that what Alex is saying is not, I don't know. He's saying, basically that he wants to call it fake, but he doesn't have the right talking point to anchor that claim yet, so he's going to play dumb. He'll take a bunch of calls, and hopefully one of them will make a point that he can use to strengthen his conspiracy, but make no mistake, Alex isn't looking for information that'll help him arrive at the conclusion that the capture was real. If that was the case, then it would call into question so many of his other narratives about the Iraq War, and that pieces would start to fall. It still needs to be fake in order for all these other things to be maintained.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's one of the things that is applicable in so many different aspects of life is that type of thing. When somebody says that type of thing to you, you know, the I am saying this, but I'm afraid to take responsibility for it. There is no point in like trying to convince them of something.
Mm-mm.
They have no interest in being convinced. They're trying to get through this with what they have and intact, you know?
Well, and there's a conclusion or an ending point that they're angling towards and that they're going to keep moving towards regardless.
Yeah, you're not going to talk them in back from the ledge.
No, and so much of this other stuff, this pretending to not really know and all this... Is a performance that kind of
totally
makes it seem more like Alex is doing a investigative process before he arrives at his conclusion that one way or another something was fake here.
Right. I don't know who did this, but it has the fingerprints of every Republican I've ever seen. So I'm just saying that they might be, you know.
Well, so Alex has a conspiracy here. Shocking. And it's kind of... decent way for him to go in order to maintain, like I said, a lot of those other trappings has that would intersect with Saddam being
strategic
captured.
Flexibility, one might say.
Sure, but like, you know, the I'm thinking of it more like Jenga. Like, it's
sure
this pulling
gotcha.
This piece out does not make everything topple.
Whereas
if you were to say like, oh, that, you know, everything that they're saying about this capture is totally accurate, then the whole tower falls.
The lodestone.
Yeah.
This is what the Israeli intelligence has to say, which doesn't even go along with Bush. Interesting. Indications are Saddam was being held prisoner. That's from the Debka file, and that's exactly what I thought.
What?
As I was driving back from Houston, listening to talk radio and the propaganda and thinking about it, I sat there for an hour eating breakfast in my hotel room, listening to what they were saying, what they were up to, what they were doing, and I came away with that guy had been a prisoner. And he was drugged. I mean, you know, when somebody's on drugs, he was on some type of depressant. That was clear. Looked like somebody hopped up on psychotropics as well, or lithium.
Yeah. So Alex has decided that the new way to go with it is he was a prisoner. He was held captive.
Right. You do not know when a person is on drugs.
Boo. But if you're Alex, you do, because he has discernment.
I just feel like that's not... I mean, sometimes you know when a person's on drugs.
True.
but you do not know when a person is on drugs.
No,
as a blanket statement.
No, you can suspect and maybe have cause to be a little bit suspicious.
I'm going
to
throw this out there. Seeing somebody on TV after they have been in a hole for several days.
Yeah.
I don't know if you can tell if they're on drugs or one way or the other.
Nope.
I think that might be a bit of a biased circumstance.
Also, I mean, I've not seen a study on this, but yeah. Being in a hole for a couple days might get you high as hell.
I think it'd be more effective at than drugs at driving you insane, at least.
Yeah. But you see, this is a good way for all of the things that Alex has said already to sort of be recontextualized.
Right.
So when the when Saddam was ousted from power, there was the he flew out to Belarus.
Sure.
He was hanging out there and have you.
Yeah.
This can go along with that. It's like that was we were wrong about that.
Mm-hmm.
The intel was there, but they got double crossed. So they kidnapped Saddam put him in the hole, and they
perfect
were holding
sense.
Him in order to be turned over in order to give the globalists a big boost of some sort. They put him on ice.
I mean, I'm going to say even for Saddam, they would not have put him in what amounted to a coffin, right?
Mm.
As far as a prison goes, they would at least put him in a room.
Well, yeah, you
hide in a coffin because you're trying not to be found.
Or you don't want him to be found until it's time for the prestige.
Sure, sure.
For the reveal.
Fine. We're gonna
ta-da.
Hold back until the time is ripe to reveal that we have been keeping Saddam in a coffin.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
it's a good movie.
Alex, he was coming back from Houston,
mm-hmm.
and he was listening to these talk radio stations discuss the Saddam discovery.
Sure.
And he decided, I got to get in the mix here.
I showed Road to Tyranny and another film at a movie theater in Houston. Big success. Great seeing everybody. And so I get up Sunday morning, and I'm eating breakfast in the hotel room, and I turn on the news at like 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock in the morning, and there's Saddam captured. And so I watch that for a few hours, leave, and I'm driving back to Austin, 3.5 hours, listening to Houston talk radio, Austin talk radio, and San Antonio talk radio, and briefly Dallas. I listened to 3 local shows and part of a syndicated show. I called into 3 local shows on big, 50,000 watt AMs. I call into them and I say, well, I just want to point out that Bush cut Taiwan loose and said they could be on their own, violating our treaty with them. China's a much greater threat, more abuse than Saddam ever thought of. Why are we talking about Saddam as, quote, the next Hitler being captured, but not talking about how our government funded and created him? And they'd say, thanks for your opinion, and hang up on me. So I'd call back and I'd go, this is Kevin. I think they ought to hang that piece of filth. And I think we ought to arrest anybody that disagrees with Bush.
Alex,
sir, let us get you right
why
on.
Are you calling
let us?
Let's
get you right on.
And they would put me on the air, and I'd suddenly switch back to my regular, Alex Jones, and I'd say, I'd shift out of character.
Kevin!
And say, we put Saddam in power and told him to invade Kuwait and told him to attack Iran, and, he is a thug, but compared to all these other people, he's nothing. And the documents say that they wanted to have terror as an excuse to get the oil, that Saddam wasn't a threat. Dick Cheney wrote that. And the host would hang up on me and go, how dare you say you were for the president or for this and then come on and do that? You lied. But by them doing that, they showed they were censoring the calls.
We've heard Alex yell at some people about lying about their calls, too.
It does seem like that.
So I guess he's, he's condemning himself here.
Sure.
No, I don't believe that this happened. Necessarily
doubtful,
but it's fun. It's a fun story. But if it did happen,
sure.
Which again, I don't think this happened.
No,
but if it did, I think a more likely explanation for all of the things that Alex is describing is that the people who are producing a radio show had enough callers who maybe had the perspective that Alex in his own persona had.
Sure.
Or they got the sense, this isn't going to be a good call. this person's going to be a pain in the ass to talk to.
True.
I don't want to talk to this person.
Possible.
Whereas his sort of yokel character that is like, I think that everybody should be hanged.
Don't
blah,
have
blah,
a lot
blah.
Of yokels.
Right. That's like, okay, maybe this is somebody who we don't have this voice calling
this
in.
Some entertaining. Right. Yeah, this will give us a new fresh voice. Come on, people, you got to stay listening.
Right. There might be a higher demand for that than whatever Alex is bringing to the table. And they're trying to do a show.
Sure.
So maybe that's what maybe that's a part of it.
Let me pitch you on
again,
this.
Again, hold on.
Okay.
This didn't happen.
No. Let me pitch you on this. Okay. So Alex calls in and they're like, you're Alex Jones. Of course we can't put you on air. And then Alex calls in doing his Kevin character. Mm-hmm. And then they go, hold on. I'm going to have to put you on hold. Holy shit, Alex Jones is trying to do a fucking character. Are you shitting me? We got to put this guy, we got to put him on. If he does the character, it's going to be fucking great.
There is an angle of that that would be fun.
Yeah.
But again, this
did not happen.
No.
Absolutely not. But that is the way that I would believe it happened, mm-hmm. had it happened.
Yes. So Alex gets a little bit more into his Saddam kidnapping theory.
And it looks like they were keeping him on ice to then bring him out. He looked drugged. He looked like he'd been beat up. He had swelling all over his face, which the Israelis
all consistent
out,
with being in a coffin for
like
a
he's been
while.
Beaten a lot the last few months. Because when you've really been savagely beaten, all the bruising doesn't go away around the eyes. There's still a general puffiness, a raise. You can see some new scars on his face that weren't there, and he looked like he was hopped up. And in fact, everybody was saying that, man, he looks like he's drugged. So you look at that, you know, I found out from a high-level Bush administration official that I cannot name, a lot of them live here in Austin, that on Air Force One, Bush Sr. bragged that they've got Bin Laden dead from kidney failure, part of an agreement with his family, and plan, I've been saying this for 2 years, plan to roll him out right about a month before the election.
I don't think that's a Bush administration person. I think that's Steve. I think that's Steve Pachanik.
That sounds right.
Because I do know that their first interview, and I've not been able to find this as audio or video, but I have read the transcript of Steve's first interview, and it appears that they hadn't spoken before, and that is in 2002.
Wow.
So they are in each other's lives, not like super close.
Sure.
He's
getting an email every now and again from Steve saying absolute insane things.
It's possible. But the kidney failure, the Marfan syndrome thing is a Steve hallmark.
Right.
And so there's a part of me that thinks like, that's what Alex is trying to obscure with the Trump or Bush administration figure.
It just occurred to me that people used to text conspiracy theories to each other on T9. Like, can you imagine flipping your Razor phone open and typing out like a long series of like, here's what the Bush family
did.
And
I would be furious if I got charged by the text back then too.
Like, oh my God, that's brutal.
Eating up my plan here, man.
1-1-1-4-4-4-5-6-6-6
Yeah, that's no good.
Those are the days.
You kids don't know what it was like.
You don't even know what it was like back in the day.
Trying to pill people on a flip phone. You all have it so good.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
That's why they would use like newsletters and stuff.
Yeah, far more
effective and convenient. So Alex is like really trying to leave the perception that like, I don't know what's going on here. Could be anything.
Sure.
But he's very clearly trying to argue that it was fake.
I mean, the guy's been beat like a bald-headed stepchild. The guy was hopped up on something. They probably dropped some knockout gas in there 5 hours before. They had a 7-8 hour timing. They went in there, hauled him out, took him to the Baghdad airport, stuck him up there in front of everybody. And then there's the question of body doubles, because they admit he had 10 body doubles. And I'll tell you, he looks like the real Saddam. That guy they put up there with the glasses on TV, different bone structure, different nose, different lips, little chicken neck. Saddam had a big old fat neck. That was not Saddam Hussein.
Conclusive evidence.
Body doubles mixed in here. And Dan
he couldn't have lost weight from being in a coffin.
Tested his teeth. It's him. How did he know that just a few hours after they announced it? They didn't. There's no proof of that. So Dan Rather's trying to allay your concerns. after all these staged arrests, after all this staged business? I don't know.
Alex is making a ton of arguments for why this is a fake capture, and he's attacking people like Dan Rather in the mainstream media for reporting that it was Saddam who was captured.
Right.
It could not be more clear what Alex's position is, but he's still doing this song and dance about not knowing what he thinks, and I think a part of that is that this position helps persuade listeners. If he comes out guns blazing yelling about how this is fake, he might be able to convince some or even most of the audience, but if he does it this way, where he slow plays his argument and pretends to be neutral, Alex is able to walk the listeners to the conclusion while making it feel like they were the ones who came up with it. This is a pretty solid manipulation tactic, but it also requires a little subtlety. And I don't think Alex could pull this kind of thing off nowadays.
No.
But that is the real vibe that I get from the way that he's deploying his rhetoric.
Yeah, you know, I also have the sense that I am a prophet that knows everything and I'm always right about everything 100% of the time, maybe he wants to go there right away, but he also has to talk himself into it a little bit. He has to give himself a pep talk on why he should give a full throat to this, you know? Hmm. It's very shortly after that. I doubt he's had too much time to think about it, let alone come up with a solid plan for manipulating
people.
He
found out
about
it Sunday morning, and this is Monday. He had plenty of time.
I'm sorry? Sunday morning and this is Monday. So he planned...
No, I'm saying if you were somebody who... you know, used your time wisely.
that's where we're falling apart, you and I.
I'm saying all things being equal for a human, it's right. Enough time to come up with an argument.
Right. We are accounting for Alex.
It's not like he found out right before he got on air. Then, sure. You know, whatever.
Sure.
I think that what you're saying, though, about him, like, trying to talk himself into it is kind of, I think there's some merit to that. And that's the impetus of like going to the callers,
yeah.
That I feel like it's the I need to find where my handhold is here. I need to figure out what narrative I'm going to be able to hinge this on.
Right.
And I think there's that.
And that's part of why he couldn't do it today is because today his character is all-seeing prophet. Mm-hmm. You know, he doesn't need to talk himself into anything. He's seen it from God.
Yeah, there's a weakness to uncertainty in the present, whereas in the past it does not. It doesn't hurt his position and his branding.
Yeah.
to have that sort of uncertainty.
When you start a cult, you can doubt, but when you get to a certain point, you got to be all knowing.
Mm-hmm.
That's just how it goes.
So you get some calls, and they're mostly dumb and not really all that interesting.
Sure.
He does not necessarily get any sort of thing to hang his hat on.
Mm-hmm.
It's all like the tone stays fairly consistent throughout, which is this is fake, but also I'm
is
hedging
it?
A little
yeah,
bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But some of the calls are kind of interesting.
Hi,
let's go ahead and talk to Manuel in Pennsylvania. Your chance to respond with what you think's going on. Go ahead.
Alex, this one looks kind of sloppy because when they threw him in there, you can see a specific direct indication of manipulation and insertion of theatrics. When they say that he had Mars bars in there, the red planet, the god of war, that's
what?
A direct message there. You see their intent for the theatrics, how they placed it. And then the guy
coming
out.
Well, it's like, and for those that doubt it, it sounds crazy. It's like leaving the skull and bones card at the sniper scenes. It's like...
Is it like that?
On the one-year anniversary of 9/11, the New York lottery, 9/11, the Chicago mercantile, 9/11.
Right, so if Alex is responding to the caller this way, then he's reinforcing the argument that the Mars bars being in the in the hole were a part of a calling card that the globalists were using that only the elect could see the messaging of it.
Furthermore, those things have happened. So if you're comparing them to things that are concrete, then that would suggest that so is this.
It would have to be.
Yeah.
So that kind of conversation is always like fairly revealing of Alex's actual, like what he wants the message the audience takes away from his show to be.
Right. I just can't get enough of, I can't get enough of those solid foundational arguments of, aha, see, they said this thing, 9-1-1, and this person said this thing, 9-1-1, clearly.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done. I've rested my case. Do you not understand?
Mm-hmm.
They both said 9/11.
And even that's not really true.
Nicolas Cage came up with that argument, I believe.
Alex takes another call.
Uh-huh.
And this person has something to ask about. And actually, I applaud Alex for this. This is great.
So I I wanted to ask you, did you ever hear of Nocera before?
Yeah, it's not real.
It isn't?
No, it's a government propaganda piece that there's a secret bill that America's okay and there's patriots and Washington has already, you know, got rid of the Federal Reserve. It is total propaganda to make people think everything's okay as they set up martial law publicly.
Oh yeah, I just heard something about it. I looked at their website, but I don't know what to draw on. I'm glad you know about it.
Nesera and Jessera, those are the two things. Yeah. The those are like really popular in QAnon communities.
Yeah, I know.
Now.
Those are like proto Q shit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. The National Economic Security and Recovery Act is what that stands for. And then the Jessera is just the global. Yeah, it's like this idea that all debts are going to be forgiven and like it's great for Alex to be like, nah, it's bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah. No.
It's very rare that there's something that is so beyond the pale that even Alex isn't even it. He's not entertaining it.
Yeah, that's just, it is just so fucking weird to see him just be like, nope, bullshit. I mean, he even tried a little bit with Q to be like, oh, that's bull. But even then, he hedged it.
Yeah. He tried to co-opt it and run it for his own purposes.
Exactly. And then even when he couldn't, though, he still didn't just go on and say, like, it's all bullshit. He was like, oh, they're right about some things. He had to do a little bit of a middle ground there.
But I think that you can, if you think about it for a little while, I think you can come up with a pretty decent sense of why this has to be bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that it undermines his own conspiracies.
Yeah.
Like, if this does exist, then there is no reason to worry about the things Alex wants you to worry about.
Right.
And that is completely anathema to his space.
Right. I mean, it is still a similar kind of way of doing things. Like, keep your followers or whatever in stasis, mm-hmm. you know? But in this situation, it's in a stasis of, like, we're on the cusp of everything being fine. Don't do anything.
Right. Nothing you do can really affect the coming of this Nesera.
Alex wants you to be like, the only thing you can do to stop Nesera is give me money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a different type
because
of edging.
Because I have to fight it.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's nothing to fight here.
Yeah.
It's just waiting.
Yeah. These are terrorist edging in opposition to each other.
Mm. So we have one more clip here. And I mean, I think that Alex's take on this is basically just what we've seen.
Mm-hmm.
It's obvious that he thinks it's fake.
Of course.
But the way he's talking about it has these layers of dynamics. And I think that maybe this will develop more over the coming days back in 2003.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll see about that. But for now, Alex has to be wrong about this.
But remember, the Ba'ath Party is who's been put back into power. They've been very quiet about that, but
amazing.
It is admitted. The majority of those in power are high-level Ba'athists.
Wow.
We need to go back and see what it was that we said at the very beginning, because I wasn't sure, but I think I jokingly said, I bet he's just going to keep on saying it.
Yeah.
I think I did say that.
I think I probably disagreed with you. They're like, yeah, there's going to be a way to shift things around.
Yeah, but nope. Just going to, yeah, fuck it. I'm going to go with it.
In December 2003, this is still his position, that the Ba'ath Party is being installed in all the powerful positions.
Oh my God.
In Iraq.
Amazing.
It's very disconnected.
Astonishing. Yeah. What a 13-year-old me would have been like, come on, man.
And it goes to show like how little the audience sort of cares.
Yeah, I mean, it has to be.
or whatever. Like that should be a glaring thing. This is a months-long thing he's been wrong about over and over and over and over and over again consistently.
Right.
And the reality does not penetrate.
I mean, on the other hand, it's not like they are necessarily... I mean, nobody in the States at that time was very well-versed in, like, here's how you tell apart the Ba'ath Party and, you know...
True.
It's very easy for them to be like, yeah, but that is the Ba'ath Party. What are you going to say?
True.
No. Pre-invasion. Yeah.
And what is a better cover for putting the Ba'ath Party in all these positions than purging
than
the Ba'ath
Party? Than removing the Ba'ath Party.
Right.
It doesn't get more brilliant a scheme than to remove the Ba'ath
Pretty
Party
sweet.
In order to install the Ba'ath Party.
Yep.
Yeah.
So anyway, Alex is right 99% of the time.
And has been since the beginning.
Man.
Eek.
So we come to the end of this, and we still don't have the predictions for the coming year, 2023, but I'm on the beat. Yeah, we will,
of course.
As soon as we know, we will bring you those predictions so you can live your life accordingly.
We've got to have those.
Right.
Otherwise, we won't know in which month Chicago will be nuked this year.
Yeah. We don't know if it's going to be a summer of rage, a fall of rage,
it could be a winter of discontent.
Sure.
All things are possible in this situation.
Yeah. So we'll keep you posted on that. But until... we come back shortly. We mm-hmm. have a website.
Indeed we do. It's knowledgefight.com.
Yes, we are also on Twitter.
We are on Twitter. It's @knowledge_fight.
Yes, we will be back. But until then, I'm Leo. I'm Neo. I'm Leo. I'm DZX Clark. I'm thrilled to play this great new
Excellent.
DJ Danarchy song for you all to enjoy.
Okay, I can't do the show. There's too many people in here. Go to rebroadcast. God damn it.
Highwayman along the coach roads,
you know, they say horses are psychic, and that's been proven.
Sword and pistol by my side.
Fuck the horse she rode in on.
A young maid lost her marbles to my dream.
Probably 150 women or more. That's conservative.
New soldiership is lifeblood on my blade.
Not that I've ever stomped anybody's guts out.
The master taught me in the spring of 25.
Actually, I have a couple times. It's not too nice.
I am still alive.
How many people have you physically killed?
North Korean boats.
I sailed a schooner around the Horn of Mexico.
Delivering ballots.
I went aloft to the world of things a little blue.
Through a harbor in Maine.
And when the yards broke off, they said that I got killed.
He rented a boat and went out on Lake Austin.
And I was like, God, what is it I'm supposed to do? And it was like, go after Glenn Beck.
Was a dam building across the river deep and wide.
God, those communists are amazing.
We're stealing water.
The Democrats have introduced bills, destroy half our dams.
A place called Boulder on the Wild Colorado.
I'm about 97-98% accurate.
I slipped and fell into the wet concrete below.
We rarely have technical difficulties.
They buried me in that grave tomb that knows no sound.
Life's right, right, right.
But I'm still around.
People come out of dark alleyways with girls in wheelchairs ramming them into us. We're in danger. We need your prayers.
I can actually shift psychic awareness. Dogs are psychic buffers, way more psychic than we are.
Spaceship called Minerva.
I carry universe divide.
Fallen technology.
And when I reach the other side.
Jar Jar Binks.
Do you know who that is?
No.
I'll find a place to rest my spirit if I can.
I'm not ready to start the show.
Perhaps I may become a highwayman.
I'm Neo, I'm Leo, I'm prophet of matrixes, man.
Or may simply be a single drop of rain. But I will remain.
I am that messiah, what can I do?
I'll be back again.
The cult of Selene. It's a satanic cult.
What? It's a cat.
No.
No. KnowledgeFight.com.
I love you.
And now here comes the sex robots.
Andy in Kansas, you're on the air. Thanks for holding.
Hello, Alex. I'm a first-time caller. I'm a huge fan. I love your work.
I love you.